Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Unhappy Hour, the show where we bitch about all the things we love to hate every single week. I'm your host, Matt Bellassai. I'm here in the studio, as always, with my producer, Barry Finkel. Hi, Barry.
Hey, Matt.
It's been so hot out, I barely have the energy to yell at you.
You know, honestly, that's a relief.
Is it, Barry?
Okay.
Even when there's a heat wave and severe thunderstorms, I still find the courage to come to the studio and yell at Barry and shout through this entire podcast. And you know why I do it? I do it for you, you lovely, loyal listeners. So let's do this. You're welcome. We're going to start off like we usually do with a little segment we like to call Worst Things First, the worst news of the week. After that, we're diving deep into the many industries, items, cultures, and general things we millennials have allegedly mercilessly murdered. And finally, we're bringing on comedian, actress, author, and all-around internet queen, Grace Helbig. She hosts the podcast Not Too Deep, co-hosts the YouTube series This Might Get with Mamrie Hart, plus she does a bunch of other amazing stuff all over the internet. She's on the pod for an interview and a game, and by game, I mean we basically just read a bunch of her old tweets and then demand that she explain them. We've got all that and more, so let's get into it. Let's do it. Let's strap on our headphones and start the show. All right, worst things first, the worst news of the week. First, a 53-foot tractor trailer was stolen in Georgia. Inside, nearly $100,000 worth of ramen noodles. Yes, literally, ramen noodles are like 30 cents. So there was 300,000 packets of ramen noodles.
Mathlete. Nerd.
I multiplied by three. Anyway, the owner of this tractor trailer said he left it at a gas station, and then when he returned, all his nudes were gone. All the ramen nudes. And there have been no updates on the heist since. Why did this man just leave his tractor trailer of ramen noodles? If I had a treasure trove of ramen noodles, I wouldn't just leave it at a gas station.
Guard it.
Inside job. That's what I'm calling it. Next! About 75 sheep and goats sprung free from a livestock auction in New Jersey last week.
Yes, bitch.
And at least a dozen of them are still on the run. The animals all escaped through an unsecured gate, and it took police an hour to get about 50 or 60 of them back into their pens. But the rest are still on the loose. Locals, though, are blaming another goat, nicknamed Fred the goat, that escaped from the same auction more than a year ago and is still he's still on the town. He allegedly showed up at the facility and was headbutting the gate, holding in the corralled animals.
Oh my God, he's liberating them.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Fred the goat. Fred is
the liberator.
This was less than a week after about 100 goats ran free in Idaho. There's an epidemic happening.
Yeah.
This is like when all the birds start to die and the townspeople are like, what's happening? But it's the goats this time. Next, a woman in Washington State has been arrested and charged with second-degree assault after police say she stabbed her husband in the arm with a samurai sword.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
This is why I don't like swords in the house.
Right.
I just,
I know,
not for
I used
it.
To have a neighbor.
Decorative, whatever.
I had a neighbor who had a sword hanging, and I was like, I'm a child, and I could easily grab this from the wall.
Yeah. I barely allow paper for fear of paper cuts.
Yeah. So the husband told police that he and his wife were fighting and that he demanded that she leave the house. And then she grabbed the sword, mounted on a wall, and impaled him. Asked her side of the story, the wife said that she was just standing in the kitchen, carving up a chicken for dinner, minding her own business, and then in stormed her husband, Wilbur, in a jealous rage. You've been fucking the milkman, he said. You've been fucking the milkman! And then he ran into my samurai sword. He ran into my samurai sword 10 times. Chicago.
Yeah, we know.
Next, a man in Germany called the police because he was being stalked by Whomst? A squirrel.
Oh, no.
A baby squirrel, in fact. He called police in a panic, saying that the animal would not stop following him around, and he was scared.
Wait, you call the police for that?
Yeah. He had a stalker. Well, it turns out it's because the squirrel's mom probably died and it was looking for a replacement.
Aww.
And
man...
then he called the fucking police. This squirrel sought you for help, sir. This squirrel saw you as a role model in his life. And you looked him in the face and you said, I'm calling the fucking police on you, you tiny rabid piece of shit. And finally... this is a callback. Do you remember Dexter, the emotional support peacock who made headlines in January when a United Airlines employee banned him from boarding a flight at Newark Airport? Well, guess what? He's dead.
Oh.
He died unexpectedly.
On an airplane?
A spokesman for United Airlines was available to spit on Dexter's grave and reassure customers that his carcass would not be allowed on the plane either. And that's it for this week's Worst Things First. Next, we are diving deep into millennials and everything they've destroyed. Applebee's, breasts, millennial, stilettos. Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive. Deep dive.
Deep dive.
Deep dive. Deep dive. All right. So last week, the internet was set aflame over an article written by a woman in Philadelphia claiming that millennials killed mayonnaise. And it was a completely ridiculous article. It was written by an older woman in Philadelphia. And I don't want to just like rag on an old woman, but like this... here's part of what she wrote. Quote, my son Jake, who's 25, eats mayo. He's a practical young man who works in computers and adores macaroni salad. He's a good son. I also have a daughter. She was a women's and gender studies major in college. Naturally, she loathes mayonnaise.
I'm sorry, what? I'm sorry, what?
It's just like... my adorable good son who didn't turn to feminism shuts up and eats his mayonnaise, but my satanic daughter who doesn't know her place in this world eats the devil's condiment. What else did she say? It was just a completely, if you want to be mad, go and read this article. But it made me think about how millennials have been accused of murdering a number of industries. So I want to go through the long list of things that millennials have murdered and see if we could work out exactly why and if they're actually true. Because guess what? I'm a fucking millennial. A lot of people are millennials. I feel like millennial is a dumb, like, slur that boomers have, like, come up with to try to slander young people. But millennials span from 18 years old to, like, 30-something, like, 35. So let's jump into it. Here are all the things that millennials have murdered. First, according to a Business Insider, millennials are killing casual dining chains like Applebee's and Buffalo Wild Wings. It's true. The claim is that millennials like to eat at like fancy boutique places and not chains, which is like, okay, sorry that you, when I say you throughout, I'm talking about old people, boomers. I'm just fighting back against them.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that you accepted bland, shitty food for so long. And we are like, we're going to spice things up a little bit by not eating at Buffalo Wild Wings. Sorry, we realized that we could break out of the prison that is the fucking fast food industry. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Anyway, say goodbye to chain restaurants. Next, the concept of starter homes. I just don't get, like, why would you write an article about how we're not buying fucking houses? Of course we're not. I didn't fucking crash the housing market. I don't even quite understand what that means. So I can't be responsible for it.
I would love to buy a house.
I'm not a bank who took on a bunch of predatory loans and other phrases and words. The article says we rent for longer and then just buy big houses. So suck my dick, boomers. I'm going to live in a fucking mansion. But you wasted your life on a starter home.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to buy a fucking Applebee's and I'm going to knock that shit down and build a mansion.
Yeah. And then rent it out to a bunch of old people who can't afford anything. Let's see, what else? Millennials prefer paper towels over napkins. Millennials are killing the napkin industry.
It's because of the marketing.
It's because I want to fuck the brawny man. Where's the napkin mascots with their biceps and pecs? The brawny man has been selling the lumbersexual lifestyle for far too long to blame us for killing napkins. Also, maybe don't make napkins like half ply. Like, you fucking go to the grave of an Applebee's or a Buffalo Wild Wings, and they have those napkins that are like antimatter. Like, you touch them and they disintegrate in your hands. Mm-hmm. You can see through them.
Oh, they mean paper towels instead of, I thought they meant like cloth napkins, like paper towels instead of cloth napkins. They just mean paper towels instead of paper napkins.
I think so.
So napkins of a different size.
Does anybody use cloth napkins anymore?
I do. It's good.
Like at your house?
Yeah. It's better for the environment.
I mean, to be fair, I don't have napkins in my house.
Yeah.
I just
because
have paper
it's a
towels
stupid thing. It's just a smaller clothes paper towel and a less efficient paper towel.
I just use your shirt.
Yeah.
That's what my couch looks like. Ground zero. It's just, yeah. There's so much happening. Next, millennials are killing boobs. According to Pornhub, millennials are 19% less likely to search for breasts. I would contend that it is because millennials aren't typing the word breasts into Pornhub. We are capable of a more sophisticated search.
Like what, Matthew?
I just can't imagine, like, I don't know, going in and typing.
Boobies.
Yeah, that's what it reminds me of. It's just like an old man typing in, like, boobs. Next, motorcycles. Millennials are killing motorcycles.
That's fine. Motorcycles kill millennials. You want to know this?
We're being attacked. We're fighting back. Fuck motorcycles.
I will never, ever go on a motorcycle because of this horrifying story that my mother burned into my brain as a small child. She told me that she was once driving on Mother's Day and got to a four-way stop and a truck hit a motorcyclist and the motorcyclist flew off and got decapitated on a stop sign. I don't know if it's, I don't know how true that story is, but it certainly made me never want to go on a motorcycle.
My grandpa had a motor scooter that he wanted for the longest time, and finally he got it. And the entire family was like, "You're going to die because of this." And he didn't die because of that. I don't want to say it like that. He never crashed, but there was one time he said that a pigeon flew into his head and he had nearly crashed.
Oh, no.
And then that is truly the biggest danger, besides decapitation.
Oh, God.
It's a pigeon to the brain. Next, bar soap. Murdered.
I use bar soap.
So do I. Although I use the fancy oatmeal kind.
Yeah, me too.
That costs like $40.
Never mind, not that one.
That's a fat bar, though. Almost half of all U.S. consumers believe bar soaps are covered in germs after use, a feeling that is particularly strong among millennials. I like how this essentially boils down to, like, millennials are afraid of germs. Like, sorry you didn't know what, like, bacteria was, and I would like to live longer.
Also, it's like, millennials do their research and, like, yeah, learn, like, about what they're consuming.
My favorite part of the Mad Men pilot, this is an old reference, but when Sally, the daughter, walks in with just a full-blown plastic bag over her head. And it's like, that's what children played with. Mm-hmm. And that's why they fucking died. Next, this was a big one. Diamonds. Millennials aren't buying diamonds. I wonder why.
Once again, I think it's because we did some research.
Also, because I have $200,000 in student loan debts and gonna focus on paying that off before I spend 3 months' salary on a fucking ring. Next! Fabric softener. Millennials are killing fabric softener. According to Downy maker Procter & Gamble's head of global fabric care.
Wow, what a title.
Love that on a business card. Millennials don't even know what the product is for. True. What the fuck is fabric softener? I still don't know what it is. Why? I don't like when my fabrics are soft. Like, when a shirt gets too soft, it's not good.
It's limpy. Limp.
I still don't. Is fabric softener supposed to, like, I thought maybe it's supposed to make it, like, take out the static?
What?
I don't know. I don't fucking use fabric softener. Downy, maker Procter & Gamble's head of global fabric care. Next! Banks. This is one of those other things where it's like, yeah, we don't go to the bank. Also, we didn't fucking destroy the banking industry. Sorry, we live in constant terror that all of our savings are going to go away because you fucked it up. I worked at a bank, and I'm pretty sure I'm responsible for its demise.
You are. You are one millennial responsible for killing one bank.
Because I didn't know how to use a fax machine. Sorry, they didn't train me. The full story, which you can read in my book, Everything is Awful and Other Observations, is that I was responsible for filing these things called fraud reports, which I don't entirely know what it meant. I think it's just like certain things got flagged if it was like suspicious activity on accounts. And I worked for like the central branch, and I was supposed to fax the report to the corresponding like sister branch. And like weeks into the job, I saw the little graphic on the fax machine and realized I'd been faxing them upside down for months and just sending blank copies and then shredding the originals. Needless to say, this bank is no longer in operation. I don't think I was directly responsible, but also hard to say I wasn't. What else? Handshakes. Millennials. According to a study by the Journal of Hand Therapy.
I'm sorry.
Which is completely like a fetish magazine run by someone who just wants to touch your hands. They were like, hey, can you shake my hand for this study I'm doing? just real slow, shake my hand. Well, it turns out millennials have way worse grip than the generation before them.
We're so weak.
They attribute it to a lack of real work and our addiction to technology. Sorry, I don't dig holes for a living and therefore can't shake hands. My uncle, when I was a kid, used to always like squeeze the shit out of my hand to like teach me how to be a better handshaker. And look where I am now, bitch. Next, sex. A new study in the journal Archives of Sexual Behavior finds that younger millennials, those born in the 90s, are more than twice as likely to be sexually inactive in their early 20s. The reasons they give are we're overworked, we're obsessed with career status, we fear becoming emotionally involved and losing control, also anxieties around consent, and an uptick in the use of libido-busting antidepressants.
Check,
yes
check,
to
check.
All. I like how, yeah, it's sort of like, oh, why aren't you fucking anymore? Here's a whole bunch of reasons why you're not fucking anymore. It makes sense. The world is terrifying. What else? The stiletto. Millennials are preferring athleisure, and so we're not wearing stiletto heels. I can personally attest that that is false. I prefer a shoe that doubles as a weapon, always. Finally, the dinner date. According to this study, fewer millennials have the time, money, or desire to sit with a stranger over a long meal. No shit. I would summarize all of this as being millennials are smart. We don't want to willingly put ourselves in dumbass situations where we might die or get harassed or assaulted. Also, we're fucking poor and don't have the money to do shit. And also, we care about our foot health, most importantly. Stiletto. Ooh, the stiletto. So fuck you, boomers, and everybody else who accuses millennials of murdering all these things. If we are responsible for murdering them, it's because they fucking deserved it. They asked for it. I will blame the victim. All of these fucking industries can thank us while they gasp with their last breaths. You're welcome. The world is better for it. Except it's not, because all of the boomers irreparably damaged everything and we're all gonna die because global warming and nuclear war. So anyway, that's it for this week's deep dive. I'm gonna go search for breasts on Pornhub. Next, we got Grace Helbig coming up for an interview and a game right after this commercial break. Today's episode is brought to you by Fleur. That's Phlur. Fleur creates expertly crafted, sustainably produced perfumes without all the bad stuff. Instead of testing out a scent by spritzing a tiny piece of paper and trying to smell it like a scratch and sniff sticker, you can discover all their great fragrances through pictures, words, and music online. If you like what you're seeing, odds are you're gonna like what you'll be smelling. Take Barry, for instance. She was drawn to Ciano. Ciano is, quote, designed for the outgoing. And even though Barry barely has a personality, she was all like, quote, hit me. So she added that fragrance to her Fleur sample set and ended up buying a whole dang bottle of it. True story. And honestly, being in the studio with her is much more enjoyable now because she smells good for once. You can get your own sample set by going to Fleur.com today. Use the promo code UNHAPPY to get 20% off your custom Fleur sample set. You can pick 3 scents to try and get credit towards a full-size bottle of your favorite. That's promo code UNHAPPY at Fleur.com to try 3 Fleur fragrances of your choice at 20% off. Phlur.com. Today's episode is also brought to you by Daily Harvest. Between filming weekly videos, recording this podcast, writing, and of course my nightly karaoke sessions, I've got a lot going on. So when I need healthy fuel fast, I turn to Daily Harvest. Daily Harvest delivers perfectly portioned cups of frozen organic fruits and veggies right to your door. which means I don't need to leave my house in order to make a delicious smoothie. I can just add their ingredients with water or my fave milk, blend it up, and drink it up. Their new plant-based, ready-to-blend protein smoothies have dessert-inspired flavors that inspire me to possibly walk to the gym in my building. When I blended together the mint and cacao flavor, which has 10 grams of protein, FYI, I gave a little chef's kiss and thought to myself, I might actually exercise today. But whether I actually did or not is none of your business. So you can go to daily-harvest.com and enter promo code UNHAPPY to get 3 cups free in your first box. That's promo code UNHAPPY for 3 free Daily Harvest cups at daily-harvest.com. Daily-harvest.com. Happy blending! My guest complainer today is Grace Helbig. Grace is a comedian, live performer, YouTuber. She hosts the podcast Not Too Deep with Grace Helbig, co-hosts the YouTube series This Might Get with Mamrie Hart, also author of a couple of best-selling books. Grace, yes. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm already having a great time.
Good, good. Yeah. We like to ease you in, okay. And then make sure you have a horrible time afterwards.
Just leave with regrets. Yeah, that's the log line.
We like to start by asking everybody, what is one thing you hate that everybody else loves?
Oh, one thing I hate that everyone else loves. I think children.
Yeah.
In a broad sense.
That is, you're preaching to the choir.
But I think in a more, like, narrowed down sense, I don't like children that are, like, grossly starved for attention. I think, like, child like, actors, maybe.
Yeah, okay.
Except for, I just met Elsie Fisher, who did 8th grade, the Bo Burnham movie.
Yeah.
And she's incredible.
She's so,
like,
good.
Ideal version of, like, teen that you don't think is annoying.
Right, yeah. Right. She also spends all her time now with, like, Bo Burnham,
yeah. Who
seems like a good influence.
Yeah, they seem like they're, like, kindred spirits.
Yeah.
Like, very much, like, have a very familiar, like, brother-sister bond.
Right.
And they probably are the best influences on each other at this point in their lives, which is, like, why is there no camera just following the two of them around? I would watch that weird show.
Were you an actor when you were, like, a kid?
No. No, I did, like, the high school plays, but they were very, you know, very lower than low budget. Like
plays or musicals?
Plays. I can't sing to save my life. I wish I could. It's like...
That has nothing to do with high school musicals.
That's true. I know. Trust me. I was on the fence about even, like, indulging myself in trying out, but I just was too embarrassed about, like, my lack of talent in that area. I always feel like watching people that can sing is like watching someone with a superpower.
Right. Because
you can't really like learn it like a language.
Yeah.
You either have the ability or you don't.
That's so true.
And so it's always infuriated me that I haven't had that ability.
Yeah, yeah.
But other than that, yeah, not a lot of acting until like college, maybe when I got into comedy and improv.
Right.
Did you do child acting?
All the time.
No. Just by existing, always performing.
Yes, I performed heterosexuality for like 19 years.
Wow, that is the greatest play of your life.
Right, not well, I should say. Considering I requested like the Lady Gaga coffee table book for Christmas when I was like 15.
Amazing.
No, I was in like middle school musicals.
Okay.
We did Once on This Island, which is about a bunch of Caribbean people. And it was just a bunch of like white suburban children in like Hawaiian like aloha shirts.
Oh no.
And sandals with socks like prancing around stage. And then The Music Man, and I was only in it for the Shapoopy dance.
I don't even know. I'm not familiar with The Music Man, but I've
There's a dance called the Shapoopy.
Why not? Why not?
And it's a term for a girl who's hard to get.
That seems incorrect, but I'll take it. That feels like the worst term for that. But it sounds like the first version of like the Kanye song that's out now.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. That's probably where he got the inspiration.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you, like, always kind of want to be a performer?
Not necessarily. I wanted—my older brother and older stepbrother were, like, 4 years and 6 years older than me, and they always were making each other laugh and like making little video projects for school and stuff like that, that I just thought they were so cool and mm-hmm. wanted to do that. So I knew it was a constant like trying to get them to laugh at something I did.
Yeah.
And I remember finally making them laugh by doing like a Cartman impression, like the first year that South Park came out. I was in like fourth grade in the back of the car on
classic
a family
comedy.
Road trip. Yeah. And then they were like, do it again. So for like an hour straight, I was just doing the same Cartman impression. But when I got to college, I wanted to do more writing, like mm-hmm. comedy writing. Tina Fey was having a heyday at that moment.
Yeah.
And so I took a sketch comedy writing class at the People's Improv Theater, and then I interned there to like get a discount on classes.
Right.
And then they had an improv level one class that wasn't totally full, so I could take it basically for like next to nothing, and I was really terrified. But I decided to do it, and then I loved it. And so that kind of steamrolled more of like the being in front of the camera situation.
Right, right.
But yeah, for a while I did not, I don't know, I was too scared, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was like the breaking point?
I think just the addiction to making people laugh felt really good. Because I remember I was never part of the theater group, like the theater kids growing up, which are a very specific group of people, as are like jocks and, you know, whatever. So I did more sports in high school than like the arts kind of stuff. And when I got to college, there was like all the theater kids from all the high schools merged together to be the theater kids at my college, and I just didn't feel like part of that group mm-hmm. at all. And then when I started being around the comedy theater, I started to feel like I was part of a community, and I was like, oh, okay, I feel more in line with these people than
right.
people that were doing musicals
right, right.
on my campus. And then YouTube, same thing. Felt like, oh, here's a community of people that also like making videos from the comfort of their own home. This is fun. Sure.
Right.
Yeah, so there wasn't necessarily a breaking point. I think really taking that level one improv class and being totally scared and doing it and then going, oh, that's kind of fun to figure out how to make people laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've said this before in person, but Ashley Perez and I came out to like one of the very first live shows that you and Hannah Hart and Mamrie Hart all did in New York.
Yeah.
When we were all babies.
All fetuses.
And I remember the show at least seemed like it was a lot of like improv kind of games and things.
Yeah, you guys were our first like interview that we ever did at one of those things. And we were like, BuzzFeed's so cool and they want to interview us. This is so cool. We started out doing those shows more sketch heavy. But we would tell everyone that came that they could use their phones. Like, mm-hmm. this is a comedy show you could use your phones at. Like, take video, post pictures, whatever you want. Thinking, like, that's just helpful promotion-wise. And so by the end of, like, a string of shows that we did on the East Coast, I think we ended in D.C., and all the sketches we were doing, like, no one was really laughing out loud because everyone had watched the full shows online, like, the night before or the day before.
Yeah.
So everyone's just kind of smiling at you, but there's not because they know the jokes and the lines. So we've tried now to make the shows more improvisational and to make them more game heavy with the audience. Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know how you do it in front of people on their phones. I'm like, if I see one person, I'm like, get the fuck out of my
I know. I think we set ourselves up. We haven't done a show together for a while now, but and Mamrie's been doing this one-woman show, and she did the thing where she's like, please don't use your phones. And I was like, yeah, I think we have to go back to doing that now because it is more fun to write out a full show than to fly by the seat of our pants. Because you did your whole book tour show, and that was, like, storytelling, right?
It was like a full, like, stand-up set.
Yeah, that's nuts. See, stand-up is terrifying to me.
I just, like, it was terrifying to me in the beginning, but mm-hmm. then... I remember when I started doing stuff on stage, they were booking me with, like, a Q&A session with Matt Belisack.
Right.
Because I think they were worried, like, what if I can't actually, like, tell jokes?
Oh, interesting.
Like, let's just do a Q&A.
Uh-huh.
And then the more I did that, I was like, I would prefer to just, like, write material and perform it. Because then, like, some places they pick a moderator that wasn't that great. And I'd be like, no. I just like being in control. And I feel like I have the most control with stand-up.
Oh, yeah, and especially, like, when you, it's, it's very risky when you give that much permission to the audience to participate in the show.
Yeah.
You're like, what, you're going to get a Q&A question. It's like, can I hug you? And it's going to be like, this is not what you should pay money for, to watch another person in the audience hug me on stage.
Yeah, I feel like I'm just like, we just happen to both be here at the same time. It's just a coincidence that you're in the audience and I'm up here.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, like, there's a wall right here and we're each doing our own thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, I feel like because a lot of my audience comes out and is drinking a lot,
right.
I'm like, the second I, like, allow anything, it's going to turn into a frat party.
Oh, yeah. You told me the story on my podcast about the woman that was just, like, so drunk in the front row or something.
Yeah.
They just kept wanting you to drink wine. Just like...
She kept shouting at me to drink more wine. And at one point, I was like, I'm going to finish this just so you shut the fuck up. And she didn't. She kept at it.
And see, that's the problem. If you interact or engage in that way, then the floodgates are open.
Yeah. Have you had, like, a heckler?
No, not really, because Mamrie's really good at, like, you, like, shutting that shit down immediately.
Uh-huh.
She just screams, it's my name on the marquee, bitch, not yours. Shut up. And then that, it's like good cop, bad cop. Hannah and I get to play good cop a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the people that come to our shows are, like, younger women that look up to Mamrie like an older sister and are kind of scared of her. But it's, like, that's part of the charm, is, like, getting Mamrie to yell at you.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think, yeah, she does, like, scared straight, basically, for a second. And that usually, but we are hardest, not hardest, but just, like, most chaos-driven shows were in Dublin, which is just, like, a stereotype in and of itself. But, yeah, they love to drink, and they show up, and they go hard.
Yeah.
And then by the end of it, they're just having full... It's a beer hall, and it's not a show anymore. Yeah, but it's fun. Everyone's there trying to have a good time.
I did a show on St. Patrick's Day. That's the closest I've gotten on Long Island.
So, oh, wow.
And then someone threw up in the front row.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had, unless I'm completely blocking it out, any major... Oh, we did have a girl pass out one time, but that was in, like, a book signing line, and that was, like, scary, and everyone was just like, because she just, like, fell completely flat, like, hadn't eaten all day, low blood sugar. But we've never had anyone throw up that I know of, unless they're doing it quietly in the audience.
No, this person, it was, like, in the front, and... It was, like, one of the first shows I ever did, and so I was, like, very nervous, and I was mostly, like, in my head and not really paying attention, and someone, like, fell onto the stage.
Oh, God.
Because it was a very low stage, and there were tables, like, right up against it.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck are you doing on my stage? Get off. And it turns out, later I learned, that they were trying to get away from the person throwing up, and the only exit was onto the stage. So I was so distracted by that person that I wasn't, like, paying attention to the real show, which was the vomiting.
Oh, so you didn't even see the cleanup or anything like that happening?
No, I had no idea.
You just chastised this person for trying to avoid vomit?
And at some point, like, all these security guards came in, and I was like, I have no idea what's happening right now.
Wow.
That was my first show on Long Island, and
Wow.
Anyway, I hate the word YouTube comedian.
Yeah.
Do you still get called a YouTube comedian?
Yeah, a lot of times getting introduced as, like, a YouTuber. I mean, the cool thing now I've noticed more and more is people are like, what do you want to be introduced as? I've never really hated YouTube comedian at all, but... Yeah, there is, like, a weirdly negative connotation to it, or, like, a less than...
Yeah, I mean, it's like a stipulation now.
Yeah, I was just talking with this girl, Laura Clary, who is this really funny Instagram girl, and she was saying she did stand-up once, and it bombed so hard, because at first she got introduced as, like, Instagram famous, and she was like, oh my God. The guy was, like, basically making fun of her before she even got on the stage. She's like, everyone hated me before I even got up there. Yeah, so it's... It's weird. I don't know what the alternative is. I mean, comedian,
yeah.
I guess.
Right, right.
But it's also like, yeah, it is true. I put funny stuff on YouTube.
Right.
So it is an accurate description.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I feel negative about it.
Yeah, I think I feel negative about it only because I know other people feel negative about it. And it's like, it does feel, I don't know if you feel this though, like when I do a show and it goes really well, I feel like especially if it's at a comedy club or some like more traditional space.
Yeah.
Like I feel vindicated in the eyes of the people who like run that shit.
Oh my God. So we used to go and do like all of our own tech and we would scramble last minute because our show was like very visual. We'd have slideshows and images and graphics and music cues. And we'd go to all these like rock comedy venues and we walk in and we have to use their like tech guy. And so it'd be Mamrie for an hour before the show having to tell this tech guy while she's dressed in like a karate gi because we just decided to wear them for the show. Like, okay, you're going to let the fart sound effect play for like 10 seconds and we're going to be bouncing our butts up and down. And then you're going to cut to like the graphic package. And the guy would just be like, what the fuck are you talking about? So we already walked in with all of these like rocker crew guys just fully being like, what are these little teeny boppers from the internet? And then most times than not afterwards, we'd have like the bartenders and crew being like, that was actually really funny. And we just walk around like totally chest puffed being like, we did it. That's the only validation I needed from this night.
Right, right.
Which is nuts. Yeah, it does like, I don't know what it is, daddy issues or what, but I'm just like, I want the, it's probably just because of my older brother that I'm like, I want these older cool dudes that are just chain smoking in the alley before we start to think I'm funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you, what is your philosophy about like engaging with people on the internet? Or like commenters?
I have good times and bad times. I usually delete things afterwards, like the morning after. They're usually inebriatedly inspired responses to people, but I try to ignore anything bad as much as possible, but then you reach like a point where you're just like, what is happening?
Right.
And then you feel ultimately gross afterwards for responding because you're like, this didn't really solve anything.
No.
This person's not looking to have a dialogue right now.
No, a lot of people feel like vindicated that they got
your attention. Yeah. What do you do? Do you engage or do you...
Usually no. I usually don't ever.
Yeah. I try not to. I did one time... And this is years and years ago when I was big into using Tumblr. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing some girl post this like really, really mean. I don't even remember what it was. That's how I should have let it go, how insignificant, because I couldn't even remember what it was. But I remember it being just like so specific and so mean and like so completely not true without any context. And so I like reposted it and was like, sorry you feel this way, blah, blah, blah. And then all these people went and like attacked her page basically, which I wasn't asking for them, but that's what people do. And so she like shut down her Tumblr account and I was like, I can't do this. What am I doing? I shouldn't be doing this. The girl's like 14 years old.
Right.
And you're a grown woman. Like, stop this.
Yeah. That is there's now like this culture of canceling people.
Yes.
Where it's like, I'm going to clap back at this person so hard that like I'll scare them off the internet forever.
Yeah, it is.
And it's just like everyone's scoring points on one another.
I always see the hashtag of so-and-so is canceled party. They turn it into a party so it seems more fun.
Right.
And it's nuts.
And it's like very few people are actually deserving of that.
Yeah, very, very few. And I think a lot, it's just mob mentality of people jumping on to something that everyone else is a part of with no context of what and why it's happening.
Right. There are some comments that I've gotten, though, that are mean, but also, like, so clever that I'm like, God damn it. you got me.
I know. Some of them are, like, so specific and, like, right at your core that you're like, oh, he said what I think about myself behind closed doors. God dang it. When there's, like, constructive criticism, I'm fine with that. But when it's just, like, needling for the sake of needling, the one that gets me the worst is, you're not funny anymore. That just simple little comment kills my soul.
Yeah.
It's so hard.
It would be better if they just said, you're not funny.
Yeah, I know. But at one point, they believed in me, and I've disappointed them. And trust me, I feel burnt out. I know what... Yeah, so I'm kind of like, I agree with you, but
my favorite... That I just resaw about me was this annoying faggot Harry Styles stan makes some good points. I was like, well, that pretty much sums up my entire existence.
That was a roller coaster, and yeah, wow. I mean, ultimately, they're in support of you.
Right, right. We got around to it. We got around to the loving part of it.
It is nuts, though. I feel like more and more people are emboldened by leaving very vicious comments.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always been bad, but I feel like now, I don't know, maybe I'm like older And so it just hurts a little bit more sometimes. I don't know. I should have like a more built up like wall against it, but still, you know, 100 good ones and that one super specific one, they're like, well, I'm not going to sleep tonight, so thank you for that.
Every time I close my eyes, those words are going to flash in front of my eyelids.
Exactly.
Let's see. Let's talk about This Might Get.
Okay.
Where did the idea come from? What were you and Mamrie like, let's do a
daily
thing?
We're basically like,
thing.
Who's going to back us for just us hanging out with each other?
Yeah.
Well, we did a travel show a couple years ago called Hey USA where, like, we travel a lot together for work and for, you know, for fun. And so we were like, there's no travel show for our, like, generation. Like,
yeah.
I remember Samantha Brown on Travel Channel was, like, the closest one to, like, our age group.
Mm-hmm.
And so we created this, like, really sloppy, floppy, like, travel show. And we've always had in the back of our brain, like, wanting to figure out what the younger version of Kathy and Hoda are.
Those
two goddesses that walk amongst us that just, like, are unabashedly themselves.
Right.
But are really good at their job at the end of the day. So Studio 71 came to us and they were like, we want to do a show with you guys. Let's figure out how to develop this. And so we kind of took inspiration from Kathy and Hoda and from Rhett and Link. And it's now, it's this Monday through Friday show that we do on YouTube where we get to kind of explore trends and pop culture and just anything that we find curious and, like, put a little bit of our spin on it. It's been really fun. It's been really nice to feel like I'm making consistent content.
Yeah.
In some capacity, because my channel's been up and down lately.
Right.
But yeah, it's been nice to have, like, a team of people helping, too. Which,
that's good,
yeah. You just have to show up and scream at each other for, like, 14 hours one day a week, and then everyone else gets to package it together.
That's convenient, yeah.
Yeah, it's nice to, like, delegate to other people.
Right. Are you always, like, you like working with someone else?
I do, more and more as I'm getting older, I do like having really great collaborators. I think I feel a little too much. I've done so many, like, videos by myself for so long while doing other projects with other people that I find it, like, exhausting to go home and try and think of a video without completely overanalyzing it now. So it's nice to have a sounding board of someone. Even just, like, producers and things like that, it's nice because forever, and still, my own YouTube channel is just me. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no producers or editors or PAs or anything like that. So that is easy to, like, isolate and be like, I don't trust myself to make something by myself anymore. I need to work with someone else that's also inspiring and, like, can handle half the weight sometimes. A lot of times, Mamrie and I will come in and be like, I didn't get any sleep last night, so, like, you have to, like, take the lead today. It's a nice, like, understanding and respect for each other.
Yeah, that's a good balance, like, when you find that person that you're able to do it with.
Yeah, but then you get, like, very precious about only wanting to work with that person. So Mamrie and I have had to be like, we have to balance how often we work together and we should do something separate of each other.
So you have an open comedic relationship.
Open dialogue about it. Yeah, right, it's like when we discovered that we should not room in the same hotel rooms when we travel anymore. We're grown women and it just doesn't bode well after hanging out all day together and then getting really drunk and then, like, coming back to this tornado of a hotel room. Sometimes it's nice to have space with each other.
Was there, like, a breaking point where you were like, fuck,
well,
fuck
there was at first Hannah refused to room with us at all from day one of us traveling together because Mamrie and I are just two Tasmanian devils that go into a hotel room within 5 minutes. It's disgusting. And Hannah, like, refused to even come in to use our room to, like, brainstorm ideas for shows because it was so gross. And she's the first person I've ever known that puts her clothes in the drawers in the hotel room every time she goes.
That's insane.
I'll hang some stuff that needs to be hung in a closet. She unpacks, even if she's there for a night, everything into her dresser in the hotel room.
I like the option, but I'll never use it.
Yeah, I hardly even know it's there because I'd never do it. But she used to do that, and that's when we were like, yeah, it's probably better that you room by yourself. But then, yeah, Mamrie and I would room together a lot. And I think when we did Hey USA, because we were just spending such long days shooting with each other and traveling and just constantly being around each other, we were like, we got to have separate rooms.
Yeah.
That's the least we could do. And it has really changed the game.
That's good.
Yeah.
My thing is always at least separate bathrooms.
Yeah.
And then fucking Barry booked our Airbnb and I didn't get it. Also, every Airbnb I've ever stayed at in LA, the bathroom is made for, like, someone half my size.
really?
It's like a dollhouse bathroom.
Oh, I feel like that's so weird.
I'll sit down on the toilet, and it's like made for an elf. It's not made for a full human. And the like shower head comes up to my breasts.
Yeah, that's I've noticed that a lot in LA, that showers aren't meant for tall people.
No.
But I would think that living in New York that you would have that issue there.
I did in one apartment that I lived in, where like my thighs touched the wall when I used the toilet.
That would make me so claustrophobic.
Yeah, it was horrible. This was an apartment that I had that didn't have like a full bathroom door. It was just like an accordion type, like.
Oh no. That's not fun.
I felt really. It was like 300 square feet. It was probably the size of this room.
Jeez.
It was my entire apartment.
That's so nuts. Yeah, I forget that that's what living in New York is like.
I felt bad. Like, there was one time when Ashley Perez asked if she could stay over. She was visiting New York, and I was like, there's literally nowhere for you to sleep.
Yeah.
We'd have to sleep on top of one another. And I feel so, I always feel so guilty when we bring that up, but I'm like, you would have had to have slept in, like, the bathtub, and you couldn't even sleep, like, lie all the way down. You'd have to sleep in the fetal position.
Yeah, New York. You put up with so much.
How long did you live there?
I lived there for about 6 years.
Wow.
Yeah, I moved there after college and then lived in Brooklyn the whole time.
Nice.
Which was, yeah, really fun. Bounced around. I think I had, like, 6 different apartments, something like that.
Uh-huh.
And it was fun. Yeah, one apartment didn't have a sink in the bathroom, and I shared it with two other people. So we'd have to wash our hands in the kitchen sink, but our living room became one of our roommates' rooms because we, like, secretly let our other friends stay with us just to split our rent more.
Right, right.
So you'd have to walk through her room, technically, to wash your hands after using the bathroom. It was... that was such a gross apartment. But the location was great. It was in Carroll Gardens, and that was moving on up for us. We were not wealthy.
There's always that thing where it's like you can pick location, price, and like space. And in New York, it's like you can pick like not having a sink in the bathroom. It's like the choices are so much worse.
Oh,
it's like
so
living
nice.
With a family of rats.
Yeah. Oh, I had bed bugs in one of my places, and that was like burn everything, throw everything away, and I moved immediately. It was like 3 months into living there. It was so, so gross. And then you just feel unclean for like a year afterwards.
Right, right.
Yeah, it was so gross.
I remember the first time someone in New York told me like they found a cockroach in their apartment, and I was like, you disgust me. I've like never met someone as disgusting as you. And then I realized like, oh, this is just like seeing a spider on the wall.
Yeah, everywhere. I know. I remember someone told me that they got bed bugs from a shirt they got from Forever 21.
Oh, God.
And I was like, nothing is safe. Nowhere is safe.
I take a lot of cabs in New York, and I can't understand why we're all just not covered in bed bugs constantly.
Yeah.
Like, that seems like the ideal place.
Oh.
My head will like be touching the ceiling of the cab, and I'm like... I'm leaving here with at least like crabs.
Well,
like there's no escaping it.
There's some because this was in like 2010 or so that I had the bed bugs, and I remember like going online and realizing that there was like websites you could go to of like reported bed bugs in buildings, so you could like preemptively check. But you go on it and it's literally every single building. And this is like 2010. Like, I'm sure 8 years later it's gonna be fucking nuts.
Yeah, the whole map just lights up.
I was like, so this is everywhere. All right.
We can transition to, we call this a game, but it's not a game.
Okay.
We call it Bowl of Shit Talk, and it's a number of topics drawn from your Twitter.
Ooh.
That we're gonna shit talk. Basically, I wanna know the stories behind why you've trash talked these things in the past.
Oh boy. Okay.
Kids Bop.
Kids Bop.
In 2010, you tweeted.
Oh my God! This is like, these are the memories I pushed way down. I thought about this the other day.
That you hate Kids Bop because they sound too much like you.
Yeah, they sound like me trying to sing. Like that, I know, like we talked about, I cannot sing, but if I earnestly tried, it sounds like Kids Bop.
Yeah. Falling into toilets? Did you fall into a toilet?
Oh, maybe I did. Oh, yeah, probably, yes. Because at I mean, there have been a few times that, like, at bars in New York, especially, like, at night, if I go to use, like, the bar bathroom and not paying attention and the seat's up from a dude that was just in there, I've fallen ass first into toilets before.
I can't imagine anything worse.
But thankfully, I feel like I was probably drunk enough in those moments to be like, I'm fine. This is fine.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
I hate when, like, items of your clothing on you make a dip into the toilet bowl when you're peeing. Overalls are very hard to wear sometimes. Just for that reason alone.
That's why I've never worn overalls, and I never will.
The only reason.
The only reason. Definitely not because I would look like old McDonald's, for sure.
I think it'd be great.
My notes say that you've sent several tweets about how you eat popcorn in the car.
Yeah, I eat popcorn in the car, and it's one of the scariest activities to do because a lot of times I like to keep, like, car chips, I call them, like, just a bag of chips or popcorn in my car for when I'm stuck in traffic and I'm hungry.
Right.
But I eat snacks like a vacuum cleaner, and, like, I inhale it. I remember tweeting this because one time I was just, like, furiously eating popcorn without, like, consciously being present. And I just looked over and there's someone just staring at me while I was eating the popcorn. I was like, this looks crazy. If I can see them through my window, that means they can see me. That's how car windows work. But also, this happened in New York a couple times. Like, 3 years into living there, I finally started living by myself in an apartment, like, never went back. And I remember eating chips one day, like, while, like, editing a video, and I started choking on a chip, and I was, like, by myself in my apartment, and I was, like, furiously, like, tears rolling down my face, and in my mind, I was like, this is how I'm gonna die.
Yeah.
Alone in my apartment, choking on a, like, Dorito in the middle of the day on a Tuesday, and then I got, like, so scared. I finally, like, got it dislodged, and I was like, that was so stupidly scary. It was so dumb what just happened. It's so scary. And it's happened multiple times.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got to slow it down a second. Because this is the most, my family will be so embarrassed if this is how I die.
That I think about that so much.
Yeah.
Because I do eat pretty, like, fast and loose for someone whose body would be found.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I guess my body just wants the salt so bad that it doesn't even chew. It just, it's like, we can do this.
Living alone
is great. And then it's also some very mediocre activities are very scary.
Yeah. And on that note, where can people find you and your work?
Sure. I'm just at Grace Helbig on all social media. This Might Get is youtube.com/thismightget, Monday through Friday. And my podcast, Not Too Deep, is on SoundCloud, iTunes, and wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, we're almost there. We're almost at the end of the show. But first, our chasers. Chasers are the good stuff that helps all the bad shit go down. Barry, do you have a chaser this week?
Oh, do I?
What is it?
Well, Veep is filming. I'm so excited. So it's not even out yet.
No.
But they just started filming, and there are so many reasons to love that and why that should make you happy. One, because Julia Louis-Dreyfus kicked breast cancer in the fucking ass and now is already back to work.
Mm-hmm.
Two, because all of the actors who obviously I follow, all of them on Instagram, have been posting videos of them, like, at the table reads and shaving Tony Hale's mustache off and things like that. And it's just, it just makes me so happy. I'm so excited for that show to come back. And in the meantime, I've really just been enjoying all this new content, this Veep content. So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. What about you, Matt? What's your chaser?
My chaser is, well, I guess it's just going to be what I've been watching, which is Sherlock. I had never watched Sherlock before.
Yeah, that's something I watched when I was in college.
I also, there's only 3 episodes per season, and they come out like 2 years apart from one another.
Love British television.
I've been skeptical of the internet's obsession with Benedict Cumberbatch for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't say that I'm a convert, but I'm starting to understand. And then I bought all of the Sherlock Holmes books.
Oh, boy.
That I'm going to read.
All of them?
There's
in my mind,
so many.
There's, yeah.
Yeah. It's like a 2,000-page anthology. Anyway, that's my chaser. I like it. It's good. It's entertaining.
And that's it. Thanks for listening to Unhappy Hour. You can head to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Stitcher, wherever else you get podcasts. Hit that subscribe button, then rate us and review us, but only if it's nice. Unhappy Hour is a production of Pineapple Street Media. It's produced by Barry Finkel, Claire Tai, and me, Matt Bellisai. Special thanks to Jenna Weiss-Berman, Max Linsky, and Mark and Julian at the Invisible Studios. Music by Hansdale Sue. You can find Barry on her couch or on the internet at FinkelBarryPie. But more importantly, you can find me on all the social medias at Matt Bellisai. That's it. That's everything. Thank you for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Weird conversation in my head. Because I was about to say, like, well, the only age that I did eat at Applebee's was when I was younger. But I can't have eaten there when I was older because I'm not older yet.